Okay, welcome. This is the Gamers Without Borders podcast, where you have myself, Brad, from the US, and then we have Nick from the UK, and we talk about video games and gaming news and other random nerdy things throughout the world.
We'll try and talk about games every week, but this podcast can really go in any sort of direction, so have fun with that.
Okay, so just to introduce ourselves, this is our first official episode. My name is Brad. Basically, long story short, I want to be a game developer. I'm in the U.S. military, in the Air Force. I'm going for a computer science degree, and my ultimate goal is being able to help indie companies grow, like be able to build teams of game developers together and help them succeed with their project they want to do.
Fair enough. I am Nick. I'm a student currently. I write a video game blog in my spare time called Just Another Gaming Blog. Find that at nickpjenkins25.wordpress.com. And there is an outside chance my voice might be ever so slightly familiar because I'm an occasional guest on the great One Track Gamers podcast.
I was going to say, I saw that in the show notes you have there, which... Yeah. They actually have a lot of credit for starting this because they gave me the idea and then gave me your contact info. So thanks to you guys
over there. They don't actually know yet. Doing this.
They will know. I promise them they'll be our first official guests on our show.
That's fair because I put out a tweet about we need to get a logo. I asked, are there any creative people out there? And almost instantly, John replied to the tweet and was like, what are you up to? And I was like, I'm not telling you.
Not yet. We'll let it be a surprise. Secret.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We want to sort of come out of nowhere. That's the plan.
All right, so what have you been playing recently? We'll start that off with the gaming section first, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I have been, in the last few weeks, playing Life is Strange. Actually, my second run through of Life is Strange. I completed it once. I blasted through it in about 3 days, probably the most emotional 3 days of my life. And I then have gone back through and decided to live stream it. So I live stream for about an hour a week because it's a decision based game. Quite a lot of the time, you miss certain bits of content by the decisions you've made. And I've seen other people playing it, and so many times I was like, I didn't see that cutscene or that bit of dialogue. So I was kind of motivated to go back and play it again. It's quite nice because the game is not too long. I don't have that much time on my hands. I've also been playing Smash Bros. 3DS. I'm not very good at it. I just sort of pick it up, play the odd match. I couldn't be worse.
Do you play against the computer or do you actually play online with that?
I play against other people because I am part of my university's video game society.
So your university has a video game society?
Oh yeah,
that's freaking awesome.
So yeah, and it's really cool. Like they've got a Wii U, and obviously you can use the 3DS as a controller to play Smash. So we all play Smash every week, which is really fun.
That is freaking awesome. I wish I had something like that. But I mean, you know what I do for work. There's not a whole lot of nerds in that career field.
So yeah, I suppose shout out to the University of Reading Video Game Society.
That's pretty friggin' sweet. I can't wait to go back to college and go to my, actually go to school again and be with like-minded people and, I don't know, play video games with people that are, I don't want to humble brag here, but I kick butt in the workplace. I'm obviously better at video games than anybody I work with. Okay. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
What have you been playing?
Well, not a whole lot. My last week was super busy. Yeah. But what I have been playing, I have on the notes here. Let me pull it up because I already forgot.
This is professional podcasting as its best, people.
Oh, for sure. So, of course I've been playing The Division because, really, who isn't besides you? So, The Division's cool. It's get on the same page, bro. So, anyways, The Division is... I don't know how I feel about it. I don't have I want to play it. It's fun, but I don't have this driving desire. Oh man, I gotta go home and play The Division right now.
Yeah.
So it's good. A lot of people love it. I just saw Brianna Wu. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, so Brianna Wu is a very popular game journalist, developer. I don't know. She talks a lot. She's the most famous girl in gaming is what she calls herself, because she talks a lot about equal rights for men and women in gaming. And anyways, she tweeted out the other day that The Division is game of the year for her, and it's been out for less than a month. And it's still March. Yeah. Which I guess that's fair. There's only not a few games that came out. But it is fun, but I don't think it's that fun. It's very similar to Destiny in like the leveling style. Sort of. So you gain experience to level up. You can only equip certain gear at certain levels, much like an MMORPG, and it's a big open world.
Isn't it a Ubisoft game?
It is Ubisoft, and I was actually impressed because it was a really good release, actually, like a solid release. Not too many bugs, at least on my end, that I saw.
Yeah.
And it's a cover-based shooter, and you run around and you shoot rioters and prison gangs and other stuff that broke out and are ruining New York, basically. It's the most fun is when you're playing with somebody else and you can have like tactical combat. So a friend of mine will set up, like, we'll move all cover to cover based, and then we'll say, all right, tag those enemies, and he'll tag them with his like special pulse ability, and then I'll whip out my sticky grenade and be like, all right, on three, I'll take the ones on the right, you take the ones on the left, one, two, three, go. And then like I shoot the sticky, goes boom. He whips out an assault rifle and starts shooting the other guys, and then I pull out my sniper and pick off over his left, and like we'll just go like from there. So it's a pretty tactical based game, which is really where like the teamwork really will show if you're a good team or a bad team with your tactics.
That's part of the thing. Like that's when someone explains it to me like that, it sounds so attractive. But then like I might go in and play it, and then because I don't have that skill, I'm not so immersed. Like I don't really play it anymore, but a while ago I used to play Counter-Strike Source, and I never used to really enjoy it because I was never really like good enough. So like I would be in a server, and like we'd never work as a team. We'd all just fly off in different directions, and we'd normally never win. But then when you see people doing it, they actually know how to play. It looks 100 times more fun.
Yeah, it is. That's why like I won't play it. If I play on by myself, I won't go into the multiplayer areas. Like if I'm gonna go play PvP, I'm gonna go in with a team of buddies from work so that we can work together, and we usually win unless the other guys are like way overpowered. But that's the only way I'll play it, because without a team you're kind of screwed, especially because the Division has this mechanic where like it's everybody versus everybody in the dark zone.
Okay,
which is an interesting style of gameplay.
Basically
anyone can be your friend or your enemy. And it's just kind of like up to them if they want to shoot you or not. If they shoot you, they get marked for everybody else to kill. But if they get killed while they're marked for being a rogue agent, they lose a ton of like dark zone points and experience and stuff.
Okay. So
it's a risk or take thing. And the reason they kill you is to A, get experience, and B, to steal your gear. And so there's this moment. I like ran up and I saw this dude and we looked at each other. And we amber guns on our sights, and then neither of us shot. So I just like waved, because he had like little emote to wave. So I like waved at him.
Okay.
He waved back, and then we went our separate ways. Well, later on, I'm fighting some NPCs, right? And I'm shooting, I'm shooting them. I'm behind cover. I kill the last one. The dude I had waved at was waiting for me to kill the last one, and he shot me in the back and took my stuff. Yeah, I was like, I trusted you. You Benedict. Yeah. I imagine that's how the UK felt when America decided they wanted to be their own country.
Oh, let's. I could talk about the American War of Independence for quite a while, but I sense we're going to wander off topic if we do.
I'm sure you could. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm probably should, but I'm just not a history buff. Anyways, that's a Division.
Yeah, that's the Division.
I digress. How is the Division related to the American
Independence? We warned you that this podcast would be full of random tangents. So that's just one of them.
Next, I was playing Stardew Valley because, like, everyone seems to love it on Steam.
It is all over my Twitter. It's the only thing I'm seeing.
Dude, okay, let me stop by the store page real quick and see how the ratings are doing. All right, it says overwhelmingly positive. 98% positive with 12,000 reviews. So like there's like those two guys that are like, you can't plant pot plants. I don't like this game.
Yeah. Or it's like, oh, the graphics look rubbish, and they don't really
The graphics look rubbish, and the game is actually really fun. I've never played Harvest Moon. Yeah, I've never played Harvest Moon or any of those games, but so I had no idea what I was getting into. But it is really relaxing because there's no pressure. You just like show up and you build your farm and you plant your crops and then you harvest your crops and you can go talk to people and you get a dog and you can go fishing and like there's so much to do. And I think the coolest part about it is it was made by one dude.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like one guy made all of this content and it's not buggy, like it looks simple, but there's like the looks weren't the determining factor of the game. It was the fact that you can do so much. Like there's such varied capabilities. So anyways, I've been playing that. I only have like 3 hours in it, but so far it is fun.
Yeah. Talking of games that are like relaxing, have you played or heard of Terraria at all?
Yeah, I've put a ton of hours in Terraria actually.
Yeah, I got it on PS3, and that's interesting because that game, like, it can be stressful because there's obviously bosses and stuff, and that's really kind of like that can get hard. But I found like the best thing to do was I would sit with, I don't know, listening to a podcast or something, and I would just mine and see what I could find. And like you dig down and then like you'd find a secret little crevice and you'd be like, oh my god, what's going to be in this chest? And it was and it's just, that's what I loved about that game. It was just like, depending on how you played, it was just like a nice stress release.
I agree. So I like that you bring that up because I was playing Counter-Strike the night, Counter-Strike Global Offensive with a friend, and they did this reset a while back where, like, I used to be, I don't know, the one with the 4 stars, not like the AK. Anyways, I was ranked decently high, like I wasn't a pro or anything, but I was decently good. So they reset everything, and they changed how you rank up in the game. And so my buddy and I finally got to the point where we could play competitive, and our first rank is the bottom 3 basically. So he got silver 1 and I got silver 3, and I was higher by 2 ranks. And I'm playing this game, and in the bottom ranks, the only way to rank up is to win rounds. But I can't win it by myself. So like I was top of my team 3 games in a row, but because we lost overall, I was top of the game 3 games in a row, but because we lost overall, I ranked down to silver 2. And I was like, What is this? Like, that's another game that you almost need a team to play in to have fun because I can't rely on randoms on the internet.
No.
So anybody that listens to this and thinks they want to play Global Offensive with me, hit me up so we can actually coordinate things.
Yeah.
Because playing Counter-Strike by yourself, or even with 2 when it's a team of 5, is just, it's so hard. But anyway, so I got frustrated with Counter-Strike. I was like, this is bullcrap. I don't want to play this anymore. It's frustrating. So I went to Stardew Valley, and it was just like, okay, I'm going to plant some strawberries over here, and I'm going to harvest my green beans. And you know,
it's how much is it on Steam?
Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
I think $15. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, you guys use dollars over there, right?
No. No, that'll be like, what? Ooh, like, I don't know, like £10.
Sure.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
To be fair, I haven't logged into my Steam account in months. Okay. But,
Why? I didn't even know you had one. I think we might be friends on Steam, but...
No, we definitely aren't, I don't think.
Well, shoot, man, I'm on Steam every day. Well, almost every day.
Well, I did have Steam on my phone, so you could at least still chat to me on it.
We use Discord anyways.
Yeah, it's fine. But next time I boot my Steam up, I'll try and find you.
Alright, sounds good. I have a different... We'll figure that out later.
A little bit of podcast admin there.
So, that's what I'm playing. Stardew. And, like, I think it's interesting that a game that it's not competitive, there's no multiplayer, the storyline is kind of like you just kind of wake up and you go to a farm and you have this farm. And you kind of, like, build the storyline yourself with like, the characters. Like, it's a different game that anybody's played, like any of the big AAA titles, and it's doing better in as terms of like reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see that more and more, that like slowly but surely, I think that the word video game is no longer exclusively associated with like the likes of Call of Duty. I think it's starting to expand out and start to be taken a bit more seriously.
I think so. Well, which, okay, so I kind of have mixed views on like the whole gaming industry as a whole, like where it's going. And we'll talk about VR in a little bit, but there's obviously, it's never been more accessible to break into indie gaming, like indie development or indie games themselves than now, because there's so many. It's so easy to like pick up Unity or Unreal and make a game in it. And like, there are just so many options and so many tools out there that anybody, literally anybody, like sites like itch.io, you can make a game and like just, you know, throw it out there. But at the same time, there's still a market for like Halo 5, Call of Duty, The Division, the Assassin's Creed, which I don't know if they make more money than indie games as a whole. Like, let's say, okay, so let's, I need to do some research then, because if you look at like how much The Division cost and then how much they made versus how much Stardew Valley cost and how much it's made, like in comparison, I think Stardew Valley was exponentially more profitable because it's one dude. Kind of just, you know, whereas like AAA games, which I want more AAA games. Like I want them to be good. I want them to be great. But it just goes to show you, like, if you take the time to put effort into your game, you know, it pays off in the long run. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's also interesting that like AAA status doesn't guarantee success.
No, not like, even a little bit.
I think an interesting example of that is, I think actually in recent years, I'd say Watch Dogs. Because everyone, obviously there was the controversy about the E3 trailer, the fact it wasn't running on a console. But in the end, I think everyone thought, oh my god, this is going to be like a really solid game. And then it came out and kind of fell flat.
Yes. So, like, here's... Oh, you got more?
No, I was just going to say that like Ubisoft is like... is a very big company. Like they're the people behind Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. And yes, you could say maybe in recent years they've starting to overuse their franchises, but you can't deny that they've made some solid games.
Yes, that's true. And if you look, like, there is so much put in, like, so much time in terms of man hours put into the AAA games. But at the same time, I think games have gotten so good that the standard is way too high and people get way too hyped. And so I like how you mentioned Watch Dogs, because everyone talks about how it was such a flop. I had no idea. When I bought an Xbox, I had no idea what Watch Dogs... No, I think I played it on PlayStation. I had no idea what Watch Dogs was. Not a clue. And I saw it in the store and was like, this is a cool game. I'll buy it, see what it's like. I freaking love that game. I think it's awesome. Because I wasn't hyped up about it.
Well, I think that was partially due to because there was so much controversy about it when it launched. And effectively what they initially showed off did not reflect what came out eventually.
They pulled a Molyneux.
Yeah, they did. which is why after that, whenever there's like gameplay trailers now, it will always say like not in engine footage or is in engine footage.
Yeah,
because Ubisoft really got caught out.
Let's be honest. I don't care about anything other than in game footage or in engine footage.
Yeah,
I don't want to. I want to see how the game runs.
Why show me something that I can't do?
Like, speaking. Like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, have you seen the new Uncharted 4 trailer that came out?
I haven't. I was just about to talk about
it. Oh, you should. Okay. I think we should maybe even say, watch it live on the podcast. I want your live reaction. It's only about 2 minutes long.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, if you just Google Uncharted 4 trailer. Right. I think it's like trailer number 2.
Uncharted 4 trailer.
I'll see if I can find it quickly. I will talk about something random while you're on.
No, I have it up. I'll pull it up.
Cool.
So... while I'm watching this,
yes.
What have you heard about No Man's Sky? It's coming.
I'm very glad you bring this up because I heard a little bit about it, and there's a friend of mine who is very much an Xbox person. He always has been. I don't think he's ever touched a PlayStation. And then I was talking to him recently, and he was like, "There is one game that's making me want to buy a PS4, and that is No Man's Sky." And I think like. The big draw of that is the scale of that game is absurd. Yeah. Like,
which I'm looking at watching Uncharted, and the first thing I noticed is I don't know where else graphics can go from here.
Yeah, it is scary. It's weird.
Is this in-game footage?
Our discussion about in-game footage is what reminded me, and I don't think it is. It looks too fluid. It doesn't.
It does. That's definitely a cutscene. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I can never tell what's a cutscene and what isn't in Uncharted.
I know. It's quite nice in the game how you don't like go into cutscenes properly. Like it does all running, but I'm pretty sure that trailer.
Yeah.
Like. Yes.
So you know what would be neat? I just saw a close up of Nathan Drake. It was an Uncharted movie featuring Nathan Fillion as Nathan Drake.
Has that been confirmed? Because that rumor's been circling around for years.
Oh, I have no idea. I just thought it would be freaking sweet.
Well, yeah, because, well, rumors for a film have been around for ages, and it's slated to come out next year. And everyone always wanted Nathan Fillion to do it. And because he was like, I'd be up for it if people wanted it. Then at one point there was rumors that Mark Wahlberg had been cast and then dropped out.
I'd be okay with that, too. I love me some Marky Mark.
I don't know. The last few things I've seen Mark Wahlberg in have been comedy things. So he can definitely do the funny side, but then Nathan Drake does have to be kind of serious at times, and I'm not sure if he can necessarily do it.
Okay, that's fair. I think he can. Mark Wahlberg was also, he did like, Shooter?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, true. I'd forgot about that.
And some other ones.
Good funny Mark Wahlberg film. Have you seen The Other Guys with Will Ferrell?
And Mark? I haven't.
Oh, that is one of my favorite films. You should watch it.
Wait, maybe I have. Is that the one where they do a desk pop?
Yes.
Yes, I've totally seen that.
Why desk is that pop? Not a thing?
Yeah. So that trailer was definitely high quality. Is it coming out soon? Is what I hear.
It's actually been delayed quite a few times. Its current release date is the middle of May, I believe.
I have never played any of the Uncharted games, but it looks.
I would recommend them. Especially,
I'm looking at the Metacritic scores here. They get really good scores, but
especially since they've just done a HD re-release.
The collection, bro. I have so many games to play and not enough time already. They're on my list.
To be fair, like Uncharted isn't the longest game in the world. Like,
hold on. Have you seen that website that gives you the value of your Steam games library?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let me check this out real quick. So you put in your Steam URL like ID thing, and it tells you how much your Steam is worth.
Okay.
Surely so my current basically it's basically the cost of how much your games are worth. So my current Steam value is $3,712.
Jesus.
I have 1,772 hours on record, which isn't that much compared to some gamers, but I have so many games that I bought in a bundle or something that I just haven't had a chance to play yet. Like I own all of the Warhammer games, but I've never played any of them. You know?
Funnily enough, I'm the complete opposite. I think my Steam library has about 6 games in it.
Yeah. There's 2 different types of people that are on Steam is ones that own everything and only don't play enough, and ones that own a few and that's it. They just, you know.
Yeah. For me, it's like it's partially sort of a money thing of like I don't want to invest in something and then not play it.
Yeah, that's fair. But I found I am a collector of sorts, so I have so many games on wish list, and I just like that game Factorio. I really want to play Factorio, but I also really want to play Stardew Valley, and I only have 3 hours in it. And if I buy Factorio, I'm not going to play Stardew Valley, and it'll just go back into my list of games unfinished. So anyways, I'm super excited for No Man's Sky. It says the release date is June 21st. I cannot wait. I need it to be here right now.
Yeah.
I just want to fly around in space and, you know.
Yeah. To be fair, like, I would be perfectly happy if they gave that game 0 plot and just said, here is a spaceship, here is, what is it, 15 quintillion planets, go have fun. Because that's what it needs to do.
I think that's what the core premise is, and it's like, well, I mean, if you really want to know what's going on, you can fly to the center of the universe, or not, whatever you feel like doing.
Yeah.
And I want a game where I can sit down and relax and play it and explore. And then if I want to, I can go fight some space pirates, or I can go build my own, like I can go own a planet or something at some point. Like I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what I can do in that game. I want to find out though.
I think it's going to be the sort of, as I was saying earlier, like that Terraria effect, but just on such a huge scale.
You know, the neat thing about Terraria though is, how long has it been in, in development, I guess? Like, didn't they release something, like a huge expansion, after like 4 years after release? Like, they just continue building on it?
I've not been tracking it closely, but I do hear every so often it gets quite major updates.
Yeah, and like that's what I want. I want a game that is varied enough that can keep me playing and just continues adding content. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
All I want, which I guess would be an MMO of sorts, like Eve or something like that. But those don't really fit the bill for what I'm looking for. But super excited for No Man's Sky, mainly for like all of the procedurally generated, no loading things between surface and space. Like, I can't wait for it. They kind of do the same thing with Elite Dangerous. Have you seen that?
That's a game I've kind of always wanted to play, and the only thing stopping me really is I don't really have a PC that can run it.
Yeah, it is graphics intensive, and there is a bug with Windows 10 and the AMD graphics cards right now. So I have an i5, a 4670K, right? I have an Intel processor, a decent processor, and I also have the AMD R9 390, so like the high end of AMD cards right now. Okay. And I can't fly in hyperspeed because of a bug. So the game is unplayable for me right now, which is a huge issue. And it just, if you don't have that limitation, but you have enough to play it, I recommend it if you have the expendable cash, because a lot of people, its biggest complaint is it's as big as an ocean, as deep as a puddle. But like the simulation aspect of it is fantastic. Like you're looking around the cockpit and...
Yeah, because I know I think it's just had an Xbox One release, I believe. So if it came out on PS4, I would consider picking it up.
You know, I'm thinking, I think the Xbox One release was just the ship-to-ship combat where you fight other pilots.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Well, they have this weird model, too. So they released the base game. And the base game was, like I said, an ocean wide, a puddle deep. Which you look at it and like I never get bored of like hyperspeed, like dropping out of hyperspeed or whatever next to a star, and it has like this cool dubstep sound effect and the star is like glowing in front of you and it looks so amazing. Like I feel like I'm in like a space novel or something, like a space opera. Anyways, then they have the expansion, which is another $60. Which brings in more stuff to the game, like planetary landings and stuff like that. But you can't play. Yeah. So basically, it's $120 to play this game. To some people, it's worth it because they buy like the foot pedals and the Oculus and all this other stuff. But I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, look. It turns out Microsoft has done my least favorite thing ever. And they have a timed exclusivity deal, so it's coming on PlayStation 4, just not yet.
Oh, of course. Well, they gotta have those exclusive rights, you know?
Yeah. I'm currently hating on Microsoft quite hard, because they're making me wait an extra year for Rise of Tomb Raider.
Really? Those hooligans? Well...
Yeah. Because it was so dumb, because when they announced it, they basically said, like, we really wish we had a series like Uncharted, so instead of making our own action adventure game, we're just going to steal an existing one.
Yeah, and we're just going to say, all right, what can we buy? That's mine. Dibs. Yeah. Call it. I call dibs.
So I loved the first of the newer Tomb Raider games to pieces, and now I have to wait till the end of this year to play the next one.
That sucks. I mean, I could always try and play it on PC.
Oh no, PC couldn't run it.
You know, you need a desktop. That's what you need.
I've got one. It's just not a very good one.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
It's a few years old, and it's not really
worth it. I have one of those first world problems where I have enough money to spend on a new computer and not enough time to use it.
Ah, okay.
So that's my problem. you know, as a kid, like growing up, I always was like, oh, I want to have a super awesome computer, but it costs all this money. And now,
yeah,
I have had plenty arguments with the wife of whether or not I should buy this upgrade for my computer. And now, like, I'm very happy with where it's at, but I still want more.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because getting a PS4 for me was a big step because I got a PS3 for free thanks to a friend last year. And that meant I'd been like, that was the first time I was basically like into pretty modern gaming, but I was still a generation behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came up to Christmas of last year, and I was like, screw it, I want to be excited for new game releases again rather than being behind the times. So I went and I bought a PS4, and like I'm not playing it as much as I'd like, but that's more because I'm busy with work. But yeah, it is nice that, like, yeah, I can get excited about Uncharted 4 and No Man's Sky and not think, oh, I'd love to play that game, but I don't have a system to play it on.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, part of the neat thing about gaming culture is I hate pre-order so much, but at the same time, like, I want to be part of that first wave of people that experiences a new release, you know?
So, yeah, so much.
I was going to talk... Oh, exclusivity. I see in the show notes you have something about this cross-play business between Xbox and PlayStation.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
For those who don't know, Microsoft recently announced that for the popular game Rocket League, it will now be possible for Xbox One players to play with PS4 owners. I should point out, this only works one way. So this doesn't mean that people that have a PS4 can play with Xbox One players. Sony have been, ever since Microsoft announced this, Sony have been very cagey. I don't think they've come out and said anything. And I think at the moment, only Rocket League supports it, and Microsoft has said it's up to developers to put this feature in. But it's interesting, because obviously, like, even nowadays, sort of, the console war continues. And
yeah,
it's quite nice to see a slight change.
Microsoft is—they're being kind of like they're more and more giving more stuff away, I guess, which is not their usual MO.
Mm.
But I look forward to it. Like, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I just segue a bit out of talking about the current consoles.
That's fine.
Have you heard the rumors in the last couple of days about this PS 4.5
this
or four, PS4K.
This, yeah, this 4.5 thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of. I don't know what the deal is. Like, I don't.
Okay. For those who don't know, there is a rumor that Sony's working on a more powerful PS4 that can support 4K and is just a bit more powerful in general, because many people have pointed out that PlayStation VR has just launched, but the PS4 is not powerful enough to run a VR system as powerful as Oculus Rift. So many people think that Sony are going to bring out a slightly updated PS4 so they can make PlayStation VR a bit more powerful so that they can compete with Oculus. But I was having quite an interesting discussion of, I wonder if the modern consoles are so cutting edge that at the moment it's not technically possible to give them a big enough upgrade to say, this is the PlayStation 5.
Is it an actual another console, or is it just a software update?
It would be another console, and I should point out, nothing has been confirmed. It's just industry rumors.
So rumor mill, I'm going to have to buy another console and a VR headset to play VR games.
PlayStation VR still works on a regular PS4, but because the PS4 is not quite powerful enough, it's something like it can't support 1080p, it only runs in 900p or something like that. I don't know the technical specs, but it just means that PlayStation VR is not as powerful as Oculus Rift.
Interesting. That's, dude, okay, this 4.5 business, remember how they came out with like PS2, and they had PS2 Slim, and they had the PS2 extra hard drive upgrade? Like, I don't know if that was profitable for them or something. I thought so, it was PS3 came out. And
yeah,
then
I was
going
to say, with a different hard drive.
Yeah, and then they had the PS3 with the extended terabyte hard drive or something. And like, I don't want to buy another console from you. I have the one. Let me play that one console. But
it's funny, when I was buying my PS4, they'd literally just like the month before released the 1 terabyte version.
Yeah.
So I was like, I might as well go for that because that's the most cutting edge one.
Yeah. And now they're going to come out with another one? Like, is...
Well, it's only a rumor. I should stress, nothing has been confirmed at this point. It's literally just a rumor.
That's fair. I think that's a poor maneuver. I think if you have to... Well, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, some people are going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
Because I already own a PS4, and I want to continue playing my PS4.
Yeah.
I want to talk about VR for a second, though, if you don't mind.
Yeah, because go ahead.
VR, I'm afraid VR is going to be this thing like the Kinect, because the Kinect was cool. Like, I saw that technology and like, this is freaking amazing. I can like, it'll capture my body and I could like play games in this whole new environment and stuff like that. But you really couldn't. Like, it was super limited and it was expensive. And now it's kind of like, what do you can talk to your Xbox now. Like, that's all anybody uses it for. Like, I had a roommate a while back and all I would hear him say is, come home, he says Xbox on, or Xbox record that, or Xbox play Hulu, and that's what he used the Kinect for. Like, it could have just it could have just been a microphone. So VR looks amazing, and I'm glad that there's a bunch of different opportunities, a bunch of different platforms, I guess.
Yeah.
But I really just need more people to develop awesome games that are fun. Yeah. You know, I need people to take a risk.
Yeah, one thing that interested me is obviously when the news broke that Oculus Rift is something like $700.
Yeah, I can't.
I know. Yeah, people were like, "Oh my god, that's so expensive. Why have they done this?" But you don't like, a lot of people forgot that like early adopters and new technology is always expensive. Like,
true.
Do you remember when the PS3 was launched?
Its launch price, bucks?
Yeah, was really high because Blu-ray wasn't established and wasn't cheap. So putting a Blu-ray player in their console meant they had to sell it expensive. And it's only now, like, 5 years down the line, is Blu-ray cheap. So, like, people shouldn't be surprised that early VR is not going to be cheap.
That's fair. And I really am excited for it. Like, the Vive, the HTC Vive with, like, Steam, like, it looks freaking sweet with the controllers. And, like, I love the design of it. But the a limitation is you have to have a consumer that has a computer to run it, the money to pay for it, and the space to set it up. You're like a 6 foot by 6 foot space.
And I think I read something recently that like Nvidia reckons only 1% of people have a computer powerful enough to support it.
Yeah, exactly. So most people play games on their smartphone because it can play almost anything and everyone has one. So like VR is such a small market as it is and it's so expensive. I'm afraid for it. Like, I'm afraid it's going to be a flop and we'll see it disappear in 5 years.
I think it's perfectly valid. Although, like, I hear such good things. It is one of those things that if I was at like a gaming event or a gaming expo and there was a VR booth,
I'd be straight to it. I would. I want to experience it. I just I hope it's at. I'm going to East Coast Gaming Conference in Raleigh. I'm going in April this year. It's something like one of the biggest gaming events on the East Coast. Anyways, I'm going to that. I'm hoping they have a VR something there.
Yeah,
but we'll
and hopefully by April, this podcast will be incredibly famous, and you'll have people flocking to come visit.
Yeah, I'll hand out my podcast card, like a business card, but my podcast card.
Get you a T-shirt with your face on it or something.
Yes, a T-shirt with your face on it.
What, my face? Yep. No, trust me, you don't want that. It will scare people away.
Oh, harsh. Anyways.
Yeah, off topic again a bit there.
That's VR. That's everything about, I guess, I looked at some of the notes somebody made for GDC, and I guess everything was VR and, like, writing in games. Yeah. Which is cool, and it's important. I want to see better writing in games, because let's face it, like, the dialogue and the storyline of a lot of popular AAA games is not that great. Like, I'm not playing The Division for the storyline. I'm playing it to shoot bad guys in the face.
Mm. And quite perfectly, this segues into an article I was reading on the Washington Post that it was talking about Life is Strange and the question of whether video games can be considered art.
Oh, definitely. And,
And the guy writing this article, he was talking about, I think it was a rule, he said, of Steven Spielberg's, that if something makes you cry, it's art. So the guy writing this had said, well, Life is Strange made me cry. It also made me personally cry as well, so it must be art.
But it's
difficult. Like, I don't think you can call Call of Duty art, but I think you can call Life is Strange art.
Well, okay. Video games as... So, like, let's take a video game, the industry as a whole. It's not an art industry. It's an entertainment industry, right?
Definitely.
So, but there are artistic aspects. So, just like in the art industry, like, it is an industry in itself. Like, there are art museums and everything, but, like,
people
go there for a form of entertainment. So, I definitely think there's crossover. What was I talking about? Okay, so art and video games. So, but if you, like, how much did an actual artist spend on Call of Duty? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he is paid to be an artist to make those textures or to make those backgrounds or design, you know, this something, which it definitely has an art aspect. So if you were to take out the combat and the fast pace and all that stuff, and you just looked at the individual art of Call of Duty, it's an art exhibit in itself at, like, the design of the particle effects and explosions and, like, the way characters are getting to move in, like, humanistic ways, I guess.
Yeah.
So that, I think video games are art. They definitely are.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're developed to be an art piece, kind of like The Witness was.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, most of The Witness is, like, you just look at stuff, you know?
Mm.
So, like, that definitely is an art piece, I would say, whereas Call of Duty is an art piece, but there's definitely an art aspect to it. But
yeah.
That's my take on it. Also, the New York Museum of Modern Art, MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, it has a section, a floor, I guess. It's devoted to video games, like technology and video games. And in it has the source code for the original Pac-Man on the wall as an art piece. Like, it has... it has, like, the pointers and all the other stuff written in whatever language it was written in on the wall as an art piece. Right next to it, it has Pac-Man game that you can play. And it has a little tidbit of, like, so-and-so, like, this is how Pac-Man was designed, like, on grid paper and stuff like that. So, like, it's just going to continue to evolve, I think. But at the same time, I think there needs to be more awareness on whether or not, what the art, the impact on art that video games has.
Yeah.
Now, Life is Strange. I haven't played it. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a different kind of art.
Yeah.
I think it's like theater.
Hmm. Yes. One of these days, if you do get around to playing it, we should do like a Life is Strange special where we sit and discuss it. I know other podcasts have done this, but I think everyone's playthrough of it is unique, and I think it's interesting to discuss. So yeah, I would thoroughly recommend it. It's not a very it's not a very long game.
Once I finish my 1500 other games, I'm just kidding.
To be fair, like I'm live streaming it at the moment, and I'll probably finish it in 10 hours, and that's only because I'm playing like an hour at a time.
Yeah. You know what? I'll put it on my list for April. I'll have it on my April gaming list, which currently consists of nothing because I'm waiting for No Man's Sky.
No, you should, because the other thing I would recommend is play it in as short a time span as you can.
To really, like, let the feels
hit
me full on.
Yeah, because that's one of the things I've noticed. Like, obviously on my second playthrough, it's less emotional because you know some of the twists.
Yeah.
But I don't feel so engaged in the story because I'm leaving it a week between when I'm playing. Whereas at one point, I played 2.5 episodes in one day. So, like, I was emotionally drained by the end because I'd gone on an emotional roller coaster and I just got into bed and just that was it.
That was it.
Yeah,
alright, you know, I'll put it on my list and
good.
Add it to my things of deer. Things to play.
And I still think I think we should do a discussion of it one day because I could talk about that game forever.
We'll do it when it's not as popular, so we can, like, be the hipsters of Life is Strange.
To be fair, I think it's coming out of popularity a bit because it came back because in January they released the limited edition, which is how I came to play it. I think it's sort of starting to die away. Like, you don't hear as much discussion on it as where it was when it was initially out. It was you could not see it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a lot about it. I just never, like, I tried it, like I told you a while ago, I tried it for like 10 minutes, and I was like, this is a game where I play an angsty teenager, and she just, I don't get it. And I put it down, and that was it. But I guess there's more to it than what I experienced. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, I would just say so much more.
I think I was waiting for something else to download, and the download had finished, and I was like, okay, next.
Yeah. This is gonna sound so cheesy, but I'm gonna say it anyway. That game, when I finished it, genuinely made me think about my own life and the way I do things. Like, I'm being quite serious. It had a genuine and quite profound effect on how I sort of viewed the world.
If I can ever make a game that does that, then I will have completed my life goal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to do it the same fashion, I guess. Like, I want to make a game that makes people think differently and see things differently, but I don't think it's cheesy. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a game that will be remembered for a long time because of its impact on people and how it was written and stuff like that. But
yeah, there's one particular aspect in particular which I can't really talk about until you've played it. That
I know I have avoided spoilers until now. Don't you ruin my streak.
I'm not gonna ruin it. Just to say, you'll realize what I'm talking about as soon as it happens. A very particular aspect of that game resonated with me very personally.
Okay, I get you. I feel you.
Oh,
I know there's. I know there's time travel, and that's it.
Yeah, no, just I will shut up. Just, I would say,
all right.
Play it as soon as you can, and just,
all right, I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
This isn't really, I don't know how to, like, bridge the gap here, but I have something else to talk about.
Okay, I'm gonna think of a really cheesy segue here. Max from Life is Strange keeps, like, a diary, or perhaps even a notebook. Do you know anything about notebooks,
bro? That was so lame.
I know.
Yes, I do. I have a game design notebook. So I've been doing this thing. Let me just throw this at you for a minute, because it comes from another podcast I was listening to called Cool Games Inc., where they get viewers to send them ideas for a game. They send them a title or a description for a game, and they just, like, talk about making a game with whatever they can. And, like, the most, it is freaking hilarious. Like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's freaking hilarious. But so I was like, how can I take that and how can I use it to become a better designer, a better developer in my life? And so I've been looking at things like, what can I turn into a video game in my life? Now, this notebook, I wrote down this idea a little bit ago, and I think it's awesome. Some people might not. Part of my job, which I showed you.
Just tell the audience, this is a completely live reaction. I have no idea what Brad is about to say.
What do you think I'm going to say? Like, I'm going to spill my deepest secrets?
Well, no, but I might not agree with what you're doing.
Oh. Oh, okay.
But anyway, go ahead. I'm being silly.
Okay, so I have this notebook right now. I'm trying to, like, make games out of things in my everyday life. So part of my job that I showed you, like, earlier on the YouTube videos is basically jumping out of airplanes. And I was looking at that, I was like, that's something I enjoy. It's fun. How do I turn that into a video game? So I had this idea. Let's say you saw the GoPro footage, right?
I did.
Of the guy jumping. Okay, so how, like, my idea is you have your mobile phone and you hold it out and you have it facing down and you see below you your feet and the ground, and then you use the tilt controls to, like, control your parachute to avoid hazards and other jumpers below you. Right? And then if you hold the phone over your head, it looks up to look at your parachute. So if you have, like, a malfunction on your parachute, you have the controls are reversed, if your parachute's reversed, or anything like that. And then, like, you would have different drop zones you'd have to land on, and you'd have to have, like jumping out of the aircraft would be, like, a quick time event. Like, you have to push buttons in the right sequence in order for you to have a safe exit, you know? And I was like, that's a daily thing. Like, it's a job, and it has its own core skills, but I could turn that into a video game. So I wrote that down.
That sounds cool. And, I know it would be hard to do this from a development perspective, but that sounds like it could work as a good augmented reality game.
What do you mean?
The sort of thing where, like, using your phone, it, like, overlays, like, environments on what you see. So, like, you'd have your phone pointed at you, and it might make the environment around you look like you're in a plane or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know too much about it. I'm not very technical at all.
That's okay. That's things that I there's speaking of Autogun Rally, there's another game that I saw that's cool. It's a worldwide like shooter. You use your phone as the gun. Anyways, okay. I digress. So there's that one, and then there's another one. I was sitting in bed one night, and I was like, you know, wife, because that's what I call her. I say wife.
I was going to say it. This feels really bad. I assume she does have a name.
Yeah,
like, you don't have to reveal it.
Her name is Rena. She's wonderful, love of my life, next to my animals. Anyways, I was sitting there, and how's cheesy for you? I'm sitting there, and I'm laying in bed, and I was like, okay, wife. Riddle me this. What can we turn? what can we turn into
your
a game?
Your wife lives with the Riddler, then.
What in our daily life can I turn into a video game? Just like trying to spitball and get ideas. And
I hope this is safe for work.
Oh, it totally is. No, all right. Just get your mind out of the gutter, you. So she says, "All right, dishes." I was like, "Okay, let me think about this for a second. What can I do?" The dishes. For whatever reason, I can't get off mobile games because for some reason I think they're easy and I don't like kind of time wasting fun. But the premise would be you have a stack of dishes, infinite stack, and then you have a sink in front of you, and your player like dips the dish, like it picks up a dish, dips it in the water, and it holds it up to the phone screen, and it has like dirt, and I don't know why there'd be dirt on a plate. But there's food and other things.
Yeah, what are you eating?
I just throw some mud on there and cook it up. Anyways, there's food on the plate stuck to it and everything, and you have to like tap and scratch and scribble to get the food food things off. And once the plate is clean, you toss it in the drying section. Yeah. You just like throw it over there, and it lands like in that one scene in The Hobbit. And you grab another plate. And the idea is you have 60 seconds to clean as many plates as possible, and you get points for like. You can use like superpowers, like you can use Dawn Ultra sponges or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously can't use Dawn Ultra because I don't have a license to use that, but it'd be like
sponsor us.
Yeah. Hey Dawn, if you're listening. So that was my idea. So my challenge to you.
Okay.
What in your daily life can you turn into a video game?
Oh, I really wish you'd warn me.
You have you. I'll give you 15 seconds. Time now.
Oh my God.
Go. And while you're thinking, I'll just touch on the fact that it's a really good idea for anyone that wants to be a designer or a developer to keep a notebook, write down all of your ideas, good or bad, and when you have the time, just go back and look at them. Because I have ideas that are just complete crap in this little notebook, but it did help me reach the idea for another game at some other point.
I have something, and this is the lamest game idea in the world.
Before you explain it, what is it based on?
It's based on the fact that I'm at university currently, so I have lots of deadlines, lots of sort of things I have to sort out in my day-to-day life. It would be a slightly strategic game where you'd have like loads of tasks that you've got to do, but they all take different amounts of time, and like they take different levels of effort, and you have to balance them in such a way that you manage to get everything done for the day, or you get like penalized, and then you'd have like upgrades of like some more free time, or you find a quick way to do an assignment or something. See, it sounds lame. You put me on the spot, damn it.
No, look, I'm actually really glad you came up with this because I've been toying with this idea for a while of creating an app that helps you manage your time. So you just came up with Time Management Simulator, right?
Yes, I did. Time TMS. Management Simulator 2016 confirmed.
It'll
in stores now.
Yeah, we'll put it on Steam Early Access in a month and a half, and you can use it.
Yeah,
we'll get other
people to fund it, even though it's not even a function.
Yeah,
game.
We'll have a Kickstarter. I'll put it on IndieDB.
Indiegogo.
Yeah, Indiegogo. Yeah. Greenlight, and all we're gonna have is just we're gonna have a picture of a calendar.
Yep.
Time Management Simulator. But anyways, I'm actually like you've come up with gamifying improving your productivity in life. Mm. You know, like what if we came up with the system where people have this app and they download it and they put in like their stuff that they got to do today. So like tomorrow I have to pack my bags and drive to Georgia. And I have to call some people and mission plan for my training that's going on. So I have like these six tasks. Now, I give them a time and I give them a weight or something along those lines, or I give them a category. Yep. And then the app gives me, it gives me a point value based on the category and time I have to do it. And then in the order, like I have to figure out how to complete those in order to be the most productive. And once I get to like a high score or something, then the phone rewards me with, I don't know, the app rewards me with a gold star. I don't know.
Yeah,
you get something, a coupon to Amazon or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, there needs to be a tangible reward. But
and then you could compete, you could compete like, look at, I had 7,000 productivity points for this week. What did you have?
Six.
Come on. Level up your game. Level up your life. Yeah. That's what's going to be called.
Productivity scrub.
It's going to be called Level Up Your Life Time Management Simulator.
That's actually not a bad name.
I'm going to write this down somewhere.
Do it, put it in your notebook. This could be the idea that you retire on.
That you never know any idea. This should be our. We should do this every week. We should come up with.
Yeah. No. I. Oh yes. Just like a normal podcast, we've come up with a segment.
A segment, and we stole it from another podcast.
Well, no one has to know.
That's true. But seriously, check out Cool Games Inc. They're hilarious. They're awesome. Yeah. And they do this thing, except they do it on like it's fake games, and it's freaking hilarious. But I think it'd be cool to see what else we could turn into games, and then like just like pitch it, put it somewhere, put it on the website maybe, and someone else can look at that and be like, hey, that's a good idea. Mm. I'm gonna make it.
I don't know if you just reminded me. Are there any other podcasts you want to recommend to our audience?
Oh, dude, so many. Okay, so there's so many great gaming and game development podcasts out there. Yep. It depends on what you're into. I have a couple different categories. So, the ones I listen to are mostly like gaming news and like nerd talk, and they talk about video games and other random things. So the first one that I ever downloaded and listened to was called Almost Better Than Silence, and it's just a couple of guys that talk about their fun games. They have these really cool, like talking games, I guess you could say. Yep. So one of them's called Guess This Sound, or one of them plays a sound. The other two try to like figure it out. One of them's called I Was the Walrus, and
I've listened to a few episodes.
So it's things like, what if you could own a piece of equipment from any video game? What would you own? And then they like compete, and someone judges like, oh, I like that idea better. Anyways, Almost Better Than Silence. They're awesome. Check them out. I listen to One Track Gamers, like we talked about earlier.
As do I.
They're awesome. Cool Games Inc. I listen to Isometric, which has Brianna Wu and some other people from Polygon that talk about general gaming things, but they also touch on like sort of the politics in gaming. So like Brianna Wu talks a lot about how female characters are portrayed and females in the game development industry and stuff like that. So that's neat.
Yeah.
Those are the main ones I listen. Oh, Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover. I'll say that again. Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover. They're pretty huge, but they're good. They're good to listen to. But for game development, I listen to it's called Lost Cast, and it's just two developers that talk about their process of developing games, how to market your game, how to build your game, what they are going through, different aspects of like. Design and level design and all kinds of stuff. And then I also have the Game Design Dojo, which they talk about like, well, basically game design things. So it's pretty cool. Those are the ones I listen to.
I've just got a couple, and it's quite nice. This is how the whole Gaming Without Borders things, different country really works, because Brad will not have heard of the couple of podcasts I'm going to mention. But hopefully, obviously, as I talk to him about them, he's going to become aware of them, and their reach will grow. First is one called The Rotating Platform, which is a games podcast with three guys. They're all either former or current games journalists. And the sort of hook is that like they have sort of a set sort of few segments that they do. That they'll do each week, and it sounds a bit repetitive, but it's just very funny, and it's very silly. Like they have a segment where they invent games by random using predictive texts on phones. They just
really?
mashed the keyboards, and whatever random words come out, they have to basically explain what this game will be.
That's really funny. It sounds like a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, so I definitely recommend that. And the other one I would also recommend is a podcast called The Recycle Bin. Now, it's currently on like hiatus. I'm not sure if it's going to carry on, but all of its back catalogue is available on iTunes. And its premise is really simple, but they have a guest on the each episode that's got like an interest in games or works in games, and they pick three things that they would like to essentially put in the recycle bin and banish from the world, either relating to games or like individual games.
Put it in world's proverbial recycle bin, basically.
Yeah. So it no longer exists.
Like package in a little box and shoot towards the center of the sun.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you've heard of Room 101, but it's that basically. But the interesting thing about that is that like sometimes it's quite light, because like someone will say, I want to get rid of, I don't know, say double jumps in games, and like you just have a silly little discussion about why double jumps are rubbish. But then equally it has some really sort of interesting and really sort of interesting and much more in-depth and a bit more serious discussion. So I think there's one episode where it was something to do with the portrayal of women in video games, and it was like, I like that some podcasts that can kind of go between serious, can go between jokey, but can do serious as well.
Yeah,
so yeah, recommend the recycle bin as well. And I know the person that makes it will not listen to this, but I please hope I severely hope you bring it back, because I love that podcast.
You know what? There's you can just package this up and send it right on their way, so they will listen to it.
Yeah, I will send it directly to them.
Right on, that's cool. So, yeah. Where are people going to be able to find us?
Okay, first of all, you can find us on Twitter at GWBpod. We'll post random reactions to gaming news and random tweets. You'll also be able to keep up with whenever we have a new episode released. We also have a website, and that's gwbpodcast.wordpress.com. There you'll be able to have access to, and listen to all of the episodes. You can email us. Please do email us questions, things to talk about. We appreciate any advice, because this is very much early stages. We're still trying to sort of get everything sorted, so that's why sometimes things aren't as polished as we would hope. You can find us there at gwbpodcast@gmail.com. We will be working in the next few weeks to get iTunes going, because I know for a lot of people that's where they get their podcasts. However, we have to have a couple of episodes under our belt before we can actually sort that out. You can find me personally on Twitter at another GMG blog. I mentioned it earlier, but I'll say again, you can also find my blog, just another gaming blog, at nickpjenkins25.wordpress.com. How about you, Brad?
You can find me on Twitter at majesticsteed55. Long story short, I heard that scene in Shrek when he called him a steed, and then yeah. I was like, I want to be a majestic steed, so that's where it came from.
This was something I brought up in an episode that we'd recorded that you're probably not going to hear, so I'm going to repeat it again here. That what Brad is actually saying is a slight misquote.
Why you gotta bring it up? Why you gotta bring that up?
Because I like bringing you down. The actual quote for any Shrek fans out there is a noble steed.
Yeah, well, I wanted to be majestic. All right.
Yeah, you can be majestic. You just can't say you got your inspiration from Shrek.
That's where the idea came from. All right, you know what?
Yeah.
Ran on my parade. Negative Nancy. Negative Nick.
Get Shrek into air horn.
Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at majesticsteed55. You can also find me on Steam as antiviral with a Y, antiviral. You can also find me on Xbox under the same name. And if you're super awesome and message me on Twitter, I'll send you my PlayStation. I don't have a website because I'm not that cool, but please hit me up. Let's play video games and chat about random stuff. And that's all I got. You got anything else, Nick?
Yeah, no, I think that's all for this week. obviously it's still very early days at this moment. We're sort of tentatively hoping to release an episode every 2 weeks, but we're very new to this whole area and editing podcast audio. So for the moment, we'll be sort of playing things by ear, but we'll try and get more regular, sort of as fast as we can.
We can do quite
regular episodes, but I also think we should maybe do specials occasionally. So like I've said, we should maybe do a Life is Strange special.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like it.
One day we could do like a special all about, like, more in depth about developing games.
Should I hit the stop recording button?
Yes, we probably should actually.
All right, hey, thanks everyone for tuning in.
Goodbye.
Yeah, see ya.